There's going to be a great apostasy coming where people are going to fall away from the church, away from Christ. And then what's going to happen? By falling away on this apostasy, they're going to openly what? Receive the Antichrist. Why? Because as they fall away and the rapture comes, apostates will never make it into heaven.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has studied the Bible for more than 40 years, and his goal is to help equip you with its truth so that you can stand strong in your faith no matter what the future holds. To experience the full story of Raul's spiritual journey, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's story. Well, today's lesson from Raul continues our series, Illuminating the Matchless, Stabilizing Power of God's Word, and we're glad to have you along. In these turbulent last days, many people are turning from the Bible's truth to embrace faulty spiritual ideas that ultimately breed fear and confusion. Stay with us for encouragement to stand firm in Scripture as its prophecies for the world's last days unfold. Today's message is titled, False Rumors. Let's join Raul now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1.
Paul is writing his second letter to correct the false teaching concerning a letter or letters that were written by some people within the church that the day of the Lord already had come. And so they were very concerned. They were concerned for their children, their grandchildren. They were concerned for their husband, their wives. And of course, they were great concern for those that had died, and they were asking the question, if the Lord already came and we are living in the tribulation period, then what's going to happen to the church and what's going to happen to our loved ones and friends that have died? And so Paul writes the second letter to correct the deception of what was going on and around in the city of Thessalonica. Let's begin by reading chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 here, where here is the correction to the error that is going on. He says, now, brethren, now notice that his audience is not the non-believers. His audience that he's actually speaking to or directing himself to are those that have been born again of the Holy Spirit. These are Christians just like you and I. So he's sitting there with these Christians and he's writing this letter to them saying, now listen, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be so soon or quickly shaken in your mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is from us, as though the day of Christ had come. And what's interesting about this here is that here Paul is writing to them because of the letter that was written, and those people were actually lying to the people, and the people had stress, anxiety was being built up in them because they thought, man, we're done. If we're here for the last 7 years of world history, we know what's going to happen and we're going to be in trouble. You don't want to be here for the last 7 years of world history. Now, this brings up another point. Because you say you keep talking about these 7 years. Prophetically speaking, I told you the whole eschatology thing. There's 7,000 years that have to be fulfilled in prophecy. 7,000 years. And on the eighth day, or the 8,000 year, what happens? God creates a new heaven and a new earth. It starts out in the book of Genesis in chapter 1 through chapter 11, where we have in 11 chapters of the Bible, prophetically speaking, 2,000 years are fulfilled if we believe there are 365 days in a year, 24 hours, 7 days a week. And according to the Chaldean calendar, 360 days. Okay? So it's important we understand that. So if it is 2,000 years, Genesis 1 through 11, then from chapter 12 of Genesis through chapter 50, there's only 350 years from chapter 12 to 50. But if we go from chapter 12 of Genesis and we go through Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and we come to Judges and Ruth, you see, and then we go to 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, and we move all the way through Psalms, Proverbs, and all the way through until we come to the end of the book of Malachi. And then, from Malachi all the way through the book of Matthew, there's 400 years of silence. God didn't speak. No prophet. Quietness. During the 400 years of silence, the Roman Empire, Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire, were in power. Okay, but what's interesting is that from Genesis chapter 12 to Malachi, the last chapter, 4, and move across to the 400 years into Matthew chapter 1, there's another 2,000 years that have come to pass. That's 4,000 years, historically, 4,000 years. And then from Matthew chapter 1, the first coming of Jesus Christ, the first coming of Christ, his birth, to the second coming of Jesus Christ, which means his first coming came and he lived how long here? 33 years. He died on the cross and then he went back to heaven after 3 days. And then in 3 days he resurrected and he was here for the 40 days. Okay, and then in 40 days, what happened? Then he went back to heaven. Okay? And then the second coming will come. But from the first coming of Jesus Christ to the second coming, historically, there's supposed to be 2,000 years that have to be fulfilled. How long has it been since the first coming of Christ? Almost 2,000 years. According to the Hebrew, the Jewish calendar. So what happens? That's 6,000 years. But there's a problem. A big problem. You see where at? It starts in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Because Daniel, go there for a second. In Daniel chapter 9, beginning with verse 20. And now while I was still speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the men Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about at the time of the evening offering. Now, where is Gabriel seen again in the Bible, in the New Testament? At the birth of Jesus Christ. When he comes to Mary, and when he comes to Joseph. Interesting. Michael is the angel of God, and Gabriel is the actual angel of Jesus Christ. And they say that at one time, Lucifer, Satan, was the angel to the Holy Spirit, the triunity. Satan fell. Okay, watch this. Verse 22. It says, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give to you skill to understand. Notice. And at the beginning of your supplication and command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. Daniel was praying like we are tonight and saying, Lord, how long and what's going to happen? And Lord, use my life to speak out. And God said, hey, Daniel wants to be used. Daniel's praying. I'm going to use Daniel. You can be a Daniel tonight if you really want to open your heart to God. Because God is speaking in the last days. He's not going to give you a whole new revelation. But he's going to speak your heart right out of the Word of God. Can you imagine how Daniel must have felt? Wow, He's going to tell me something. What is he going to tell me? I want to know. Well, let me tell you what he told him. Verse 24. He said, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for the holy city. Who's the people? The Jews. What city? Jerusalem. Okay? To finish the transgression or the rebellion, to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation or atonement for sin and to bring an everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And remember, in the Old Testament, they kill lambs, goats, turtle doves when they sin. What is he talking about? God says, I'm going to do a new work. And I'm going to do what? I'm going to take care of sin. Which means what? Jesus Christ was going to become the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Okay, he's informing him what's going to happen. Watch this. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there will be 70 weeks and 62 weeks. Now remember, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, 29, and 30, Moses spoke to the people through God, and he said in the first 14 verses of chapter 28, if you obey me and you do what I say, I'll bless you. And then in chapter 28, verse 15, through chapter 29, in chapter 30, he said, if you don't obey me, then all these cursings will come against you. And then he said this, if you obey me, you'll be the head and you'll lead the world. Christ called the Jews in the Old Testament to become a light, like the church, to do what? To take the message of repentance to the Gentiles, but they failed. What do? They begin to worship the God of the Gentiles, and that was what? Idolatry. So what did God do? God said, because you neglected my commandments, you didn't keep my Sabbath days, and you stole from me 490 years, you're going to have to pay it back. He said, really? Oh, yeah. Remember when they went into captivity? They went into captivity to what? For 70 years into Babylon. That's where Daniel is now. 70 years. So when he says here in verse 25, he says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, it will be what? 70 weeks. And what else? And 62 weeks. I am so glad he put that in there. You know why? Because when he says from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, you know when that started? It started in the book of Nehemiah. Mark this. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Remember, Nehemiah was born in captivity. He was born in Persia. 160 years already had passed that the people of God had returned from Babylon into back to Jerusalem. 55,000 returned according to the book of Haggai. And the walls were torn down, the walls were messed up, they were being oppressed by Tobiah, Sambalat, and the Arabs. And Nehemiah prayed to God for 4 months after he heard his brother's report that the people were really oppressed. And he prayed and didn't tell anybody anything, and Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. He's the one that ate vegetables and meat and tasted the wine, and if it was poison for the king, he would be the one to die, not the king. He was his guinea pig. That was his job. So after 4 months of hearing the report and praying and fasting and ripping his clothes and just mourning, one day he happened to come to the king's court, and the king noticed that Nehemiah was kind of sad, and he said, Nehemiah, what is your problem? Why are you sad? But the Bible says that God spoke to the king, and Nehemiah said, oh king, the reason I'm so upset and so bummed down is because of the report that I've heard about my people. I've never been there. I was born here. And the king said, well, what do you want? He says, I would like to have permission to go back and rebuild the walls and see what's up. And it says, if you read on, that the king was touched by God. And he says, I'll give you the finances. I'll give you the donkeys. I'll give you the men. And then I want you to go. And Nehemiah went for 12 years. 12 years he was gone. Because God gave permission. But this is the key. The permission was given here in Daniel, the prophecy. The permission was fulfilled on March 14, 445 B.C., by Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, in Nehemiah chapter 2. Guess what? From Nehemiah chapter 2 to the end of the book of Malachi, okay, is 49 years. 49 years. And the 400 years of silence. Now, watch this. 70 weeks is what? You multiply it. 7 times 70 is what? 490 years. And God said what? You're going to pay it back. Check this out. And he said, there shall be 70 weeks and 62 weeks. 62 weeks, you multiply that by 7 is what? 483 years. But you said 490. That's what I said. Why? Because the 1 week that is taken out is the last 7 years of world history. Listen, the 483 years were fulfilled from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, until Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus entered the city, the Messiah, remember, entered the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, and they had palm branches. They spread them all out, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now, save us now. On April the 6th, 32 AD, 483 years were fulfilled, prophetically speaking, according to the word of God. Daniel told us the whole thing, even before it happened. Watch this. This is so cool. Again, the street shall be built again, and the wall, speaking of who? Jerusalem. Even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, 400, okay, here it is. 62 weeks is 434 years. What's going to happen? Messiah shall be cut off. Shall be cut off. What do you mean cut off? He's going to be crucified. He's going to be killed. What happens? Look. But not for himself, in the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. When did that happen? That happened in 70 AD when Titus the Roman came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. He says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. There's that 1 week of 400. And remember, 483 years plus 7, that's 490. Who's he? The Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look just for a second. Go back to Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Remember, he says, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Who's he talking about? The Antichrist. There's going to be a great apostasy. The word apostasy here in the Greek is the word apostasia. Two meanings. It means someone that falls away from the Lord. Or it means a departure. It can be a departure from religion, a departure from Christ. If it is true, because we see this, in the last days before Christ comes again, there's going to be a great apostasy coming where people are going to fall away from the church, away from Christ. And then what's going to happen? By falling away on this apostasy, they're going to openly what? Receive the Antichrist. Why? Because as they fall away and the rapture comes, the apostates will never make it into heaven. It's only the true believers. Those in the church. And you say, well, what is restraining? today, the Antichrist from coming, one thing. It's the Holy Spirit in the church of Jesus Christ in every believer. As long as we are here, no tribulation. But let me say this, when we're gone, the last 7 years of world history will come to an end. If you don't believe me, read. In Revelations chapter 2 and 3, what's there? The church of Jesus Christ, the seven churches, right? In chapter 4 and 5, what's there? That's called the church age. In chapter 4 and 5, where is the church? In heaven or in the earth? Not in earth, in heaven. John saw a door open. And he was taken up to heaven. Metatauta in the Greek, they're the same word. He was taken up. And he entered into heaven. And the first thing he saw was the throne of God. In chapter 4 and 5, the church is in heaven, worshiping, singing. Read it. A multitude he saw there with the Lamb of God, worshiping. But in chapter 6, what's the first thing we see? The Antichrist riding on a white horse, coming into the world. And from chapter 6 through chapter 18 of Revelation, those are the last 7 years of world history. And if you really want to see what's going to happen, it is scary when you read those chapters. It is hell on earth. But God has not appointed you or me unto wrath, the Bible says that. And that's why Paul was upset with these people. They were saying, oh no, the church is going to go into the tribulation period. No, we're not. God has not appointed wrath. Yes, we are going to see a great apostasy. We're already seeing it. We say, what do you mean? Well, look what happened to England and Scotland and Wales and all that area from the 1800s to now, where only 2% believe in Jesus Christ. And in America tonight, what? Sunday night churches are closing down their doors. What happened in England? Today you can go to England and you can go to one of those happening churches years ago where they had 6,000-10,000 people in the church. Today you'll find, if you're lucky, 25 people on Sunday morning service. And most of the Muslims are buying the churches and making their temples out of that. And it's happened to America too.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, if you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll be glad to send you an unedited copy for a gift of any amount. To get that, call 800-634-9165 and ask for the message titled False Rumors. Well, the Bible is full of warnings against religious counterfeits who will attempt to cloud your faith with doctrine that defies the gospel. Now, to equip you with a thorough understanding of what God's Word actually says, we'd like to offer you all 6-CD study titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. It's a comprehensive series that exposes the self-serving agenda of phony spiritual leaders and explores the destructively widespread influence Scripture says they will have in the world's last days. Each of these lessons shows you how to safeguard your heart and mind through the truth of God's Word. So contact us to purchase the 6-CD series titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. We'll send you this resource for a gift of $21 or more. To order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call us at 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order the resource by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Now, for additional biblical insight and support, be sure to catch Rawls' teachings on podcast. We've put together all of the Somebody Loves You radio programs so you can easily access and download them via iTunes or Google Play, and you can stream them on all Alexa-powered devices. Don't forget that every dollar that you give to Somebody Loves You radio is used carefully to win the lost, build up believers, and strengthen the local church. These tax-deductible gifts are the only means of support we have at the ministry, so we greatly appreciate your partnership. Be sure and join us for the next Somebody Loves You Radio for this month's Straight Talk. Raul Reese will join us here in the studio with a biblical perspective on the way we use our words. Here's Raul now once again with a final thought from today's message.
And the best thing that we can do as a church is to pray for these people. Oh yeah, they need water. They need food, they need shelter, they need a lot, but they need Jesus Christ most important in their souls. That's the most important thing that people need today. In America and the world. When you hear people talk about God, I ask the question, what God are you talking about? Because the God of heaven, the holy God, hears holy people. We are his people. And that's why Paul makes such a big stink about this, because the people in that day were doing the same thing we're doing today. Lying to the people, cheating the people, being deceptive, and trying to take them away from being encouraged to discourage them and saying, you know what? You're going to go into the wrath of God, and God has not appointed you or me or any Christian for wrath, but to be with him in heaven. And yet there is a day of apostasy coming.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.